Well, it's certainly good to see you this week. Glad you could make it. I'd like to see all these smiling faces out there. And just want to, again, just want to appreciate all of you and the prayers that have gone up for the Bernard family this week. And just want to give you a shout out and give Christ a shout out. But, you know, it's interesting. I preached on blind Bartimaeus last week and how we should just press in and pray and seek. I really believe that this young lady is alive because of your prayers today. And what excites me as a pastor when I preach, then you put it into practice. And so thank you again for putting that into practice. And I think God is doing more than just a physical work in this family. He's doing some spiritual things as well. And so it's because of your prayers and because of God's faithfulness that we are able to just trust Him even in the midst of difficult seasons. We preached, we've been talking about living fruitful lives. Living fruitful lives. We preached one week on fruit of the lips and how we're supposed to be blessing others and not cursing. Didn't share with you at that time. Maybe I'll share it another time. Did you know that there's a boomerang blessings that take place? Scripture says if you give, it'll be given unto you. So if you give a blessing, then you're going to receive a blessing. And then the reverse is also true. But we want to be those who give a blessing and are also receiving blessings. As well, we talked about the fruit of repentance. Last week, we could have called that the fruitful prayer. But this week, we're going to be talking about the harvest of lives as eternal fruit. The harvest of lives as eternal fruit. I hope that as a pastor, I impress upon you the importance of sharing Christ with other people. Because without Christ, there is no hope. And I've always have been in churches where that has been stressed. And even before I became a Christian, I was a minister. And I was a minister of music. I was a minister of youth. And we went to perform, to sing at a place called the Home of Grace in Barton, Mississippi. And this was a place where alcoholics would go to get dried out and kind of get their life on track. And so there was, I don't know, there was several, I'm saying in probably 40 individuals there. And our youth group went to sing at this place. And so after it was over, the leader, I'm sorry, Mr. Barton, it wasn't Barton, Mississippi, the guy's name was Barton. And he said, Brad, this fellow wants to know Christ, and he wants, so I would like for you to lead him to the Lord. I'd never done that before, didn't know what it looked like, and I did. It scared me to death because I wasn't even a Christian. I didn't know I wasn't a Christian. I mean, I was doing the right things, living a somewhat moral life, trying to get my act together, and he wanted me to lead this guy to the Lord. And the only verse of Scripture that came to mind was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And he said, well, I believe. So can I receive him? I said, sure. And so he prayed to receive Christ. I didn't then. That was totally Holy Spirit, right? Nothing I did. I was in another church and we were doing a soul-winning training. And so what we were to do was we were to take a tract such as this, a different one. It was the four spiritual laws. I don't know if you've heard of that or not. But we would go around door to door, and we would knock on doors and ask people, could we read this tract to you? And some people would let us in. And honestly, we went through the training, and I did not understand the four spiritual laws. Didn't even understand it because the Spirit had not revealed to me the truth of that. But I would go around the door to door and I'd knock on doors and began to read people to them the tract if they would allow me to do so. Okay. didn't have anybody receive Christ. There is a prayer at the end and they could pray and things, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I know, but the Lord blessed that. It's strange to me that we can be fumble mouthed and fumble footed and everything else, and God will use the things that we share. And we'll go away from there and think, man, that was horrible. I do that with my message sometimes. Man, that was horrible. And someone will say, boy, that was the greatest message, Brad. I said, great, I'm glad you got something out of it. So it's not so much your presentation, although the presentation is good. It's so not so much the presentation is, but do you know what Jesus has done for you and that what he can do for others? Do you know that? We're going to be talking about today the harvest of lives as eternal fruit. So John 3:16, I've got it up here on the board, for God so loved the world. Let's read that together. And when you get to, for God so loved the world, say, for God so loved and me, or say your name. Say your name, just your first name. You know, some of these Hispanic people have like 14 names. And so just say your given name, and then we can move on, okay? So read this with me. For God so loved Brad that he gave his only begotten son, that if Brad believes in him, I will not perish but have everlasting life. Let's do it again, like you mean it. Like it's something that really is real to you. All right. Say your name, not my name. Here we go. For God so loved Brad that he gave his only begotten son, that if Brad believes in him, Brad will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This, without a doubt, the harvest of souls for eternity is, without a doubt, Jesus' greatest motivation. Without a doubt, his main focus when he was here on earth. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you know he's still seeking? Did you know that? He's still seeking and saving those who are lost. Matter of fact, he shared some parables about the lost things. You remember those parables? One, he had a parable about a lost sheep. A sheep had gone, a fellow had 100 sheep, one went astray, and so that shepherd went out and he was finding and looking for that lost sheep. And when he found that lost sheep, he brought it back to the fold and he was rejoicing because of the lost sheep. There was another parable about a lady who had lost a coin. And she swept her entire house trying to find this coin. And when she found it, she was rejoicing because of finding this lost coin. And Scripture tells us that when there's a person who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, will believe in him, receive him, that there is rejoicing in heaven over over that one person coming to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Rejoicing in heaven. When I came to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and when I was 22 years old, there was rejoicing in heaven. And when you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there was rejoicing in heaven. And so anytime you lead someone to Christ, there's rejoicing in heaven, and there's also rejoicing in your heart because of that very thing. When Jesus came here, he didn't come just to do miracles. Well, he did miracles, marvelous miracles. I'm sure there are many, many, many that are not even written in Scripture. He didn't just come to do miracles. He didn't just come to preach, though he was a great preacher. He came to bring life to lost souls. His main focus, his heart, was to bring people into the kingdom. His intent was going after the one or after the multitude. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4 today. And John chapter 4, if you remember, is when Jesus takes his disciples and they go to Samaria. Now, in Samaria, so let me just kind of back up there. The disciples really were not, they were kind of hesitant about going to Samaria. It doesn't share that in Scripture, but it tells, what it does say is that the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along, okay? And the reason for that, well, as many, and this had been going on for centuries. The Samaritans, years ago, so let's just, in 931 BC, Solomon no longer ruled. He put his son Rehoboam on the throne, and Rehoboam made a bad decision, which caused 10 tribes of Israel to decide, no, we're not going to be under your rule anymore. We're going to go to the north and we're going to have our own nation. Samaria became that nation. And there had been conflict and animosity since that time. Not only did that happen, but in years later, about 200 years later, there was a situation where the Jews were, the Samaritans were invaded by the Assyrian army. And the Assyrian army came in, and after invaded them, the Samaritans kind of lost some, well, they had been losing their connection with God for quite some time, but they began to intermarry with other nations, with the Assyrians, and according to God's law, they were not to do that. And so the Jews kind of like, no, we're not going to have anything to do with you. You're not following God's principles. You're not following God's laws. You are only supposed to marry Jews, not non-Jews. And so therefore, we're not going to have anything to do with you. And so a third thing that happened was that when Ezra started building the temple in 538 BC, given permission by Cyrus to go and build the temple, he started the temple and the Samaritans came and said, we want to help you out. And Ezra said, nope. You're not going to help us out. This is going to be for the Jews, and the Jews only. You're not allowed to participate in this rebuilding. They got kind of upset with the Jews. So they went and built their own temple on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. And so from that time till this, or till the day of Jesus, I mean, there was this conflict going on. As a matter of fact, it was so much so that the Jews wouldn't even go through Samaria. Scripture says there, and I think at verse 1, that Jesus was going by, needed to go through Samaria. It made a point of saying that in Scripture, and the reason it says that is because from Judea to Galilee, where he was traveling to, Samaria was the most direct route, but rather than going through Samaria, the Jews would go around Samaria and get to Galilee in a different way. And so they circumvented going through Samaria because of this hatred, because of this animosity toward these two nations. And then Jesus says, I need to go through Samaria. And I'm sure the disciples were like, that's kind of weird. But so why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Well, so Jesus said to them, listen, in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So one of the things that Jesus needed to do, and the reason he needed to go through Samaria, is so that he could finish the work that the Lord had given him to do. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit try to lead you to do something that you didn't want to do? A few times. Maybe putting something on Facebook or putting something on your public announcements in on the whatever websites or whatever, and you say, man, I'm just kind of, I'm gonna make people mad. Or The Holy Spirit may have said you need to visit your neighbor and you need to share Christ with them, or you need to do something else. And sometimes we hesitate. But Jesus didn't hesitate. He said, I'm going to do whatever the Lord, whatever my Father tells me to do, I'm going to finish the work that he gave me to do. Now, Jesus completed the work. He lived a perfect life. He shared the messages of God with his people. He died. We're going to be celebrating his resurrection in a couple of weeks. 3 days later, he rose, and then sometime later, he ascended into heaven. He did complete the task that his Father left for him. Here's what my hope and desire is, that I finish the task that God has instructed me to do. I want to complete what he told me to do. I want to complete it. That's my goal. Now, not only was that task, or not only was he needed, did he need to go through Samaria for that reason to finish the work, but he also needed to share with his disciples how important it was to see beyond their own needs and look upon the spiritual needs of others. He needed to help them see the truths of the harvest. So you remember Jesus went to Samaria, and while he was there, he sent his disciples off to town to get some food. And so he was left at a well, and at this well, there was a woman that came at noon to draw water from the well. And Jesus was sitting there, and he said to this woman, would you give me a drink of water? And she was kind of blown away, because Jews don't talk to Samaritans, and Jewish men certainly don't talk to Samaritan women. But Jesus said, Jesus was not politically correct. Okay? He was not politically correct. And he said to her, hey, would you give me something to drink? And she was kind of blown away. And she said, why are you speaking to me? Jewish men don't speak to us. And he said, if you knew what I have to offer you, you would ask me for the living water and I would give it to you. And of course, they went into this big conversation. And before the conversation was over, this Samaritan woman had come to a place where she realized Jesus was the Messiah, and she had given her heart to him. And she went away to her hometown. Now, the disciples didn't know what was going on the time they were gone. And when they come back, Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. And so this is what he says. I mean, they've come back. Jesus had this wonderful experience with this lady. And then Jesus starts sharing. Oh, do not say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And again in verse 36, it says, I want you to receive wages and gather fruit for eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your message to us. Lord, I pray you'd open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us. that you would help us not just to receive it, but to act on it. Lord, there's a ton of people out there that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, you've given us every tool that we need in order to help them. And so, Lord, would you open our eyes, open our hearts to the needs of the people around us? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So one of the things that he wanted to share with his disciples is that the harvest is now. The harvest is now. He said, look upon the fields, for they are white in the harvest. You say that it's 4 months to harvest. You say we don't have to do anything harvesting now. You say that we've got some time. But Jesus said, the harvest is now. It's not next week. It's not next year. It's not 4 years from now. The harvest is now. When Jesus completed his work, did you know that he passed on the baton to us? Did you know that what the Father had asked Jesus to complete, he's now asking us to do the same thing? He said, the harvest is now. And then he says, look. Here's the neat thing about Jesus. When he saw people, he didn't see them as good or bad. He didn't see their nationality, their heritage, the color of their skin. He saw lost people. He saw wandering sheep who have no shepherd. He saw souls bleeding and hurting. So I want to ask you a question. What do you see when you see people? Do you just see a cashier at Fred Meyer at Safeway? You see a waitress? You see a coworker? What do you say? Because Jesus is telling his disciples to look, to open your eyes. Open your eyes wide. Because there's more that you need to look at. And there's more that you need to look for than what you're seeing right now. I think that would be a good prayer for each of us. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Now, there's an old song that goes, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful truths you have for me. I think that's a great prayer, a great song. But what if we prayed, open my eyes that I may see the hurts and the needs of others and bring Christ to them? I think that would be a great prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, what do you think God would do? Do you think that's in line with what God wants for you? Do you think that it would be, Jesus said, if you pray anything according to my name, it will be done. Do you think that's his will? So if we pray according to his will, it will be done. And I would just encourage you, family, begin praying that God would open your eyes to the needs of others, the spiritual needs. It's good that you can meet physical needs. But God is more intent on meeting the spiritual needs than he is the physical needs. However, sometimes we have to meet physical needs in order to be able to meet the spiritual needs. So when you see those people that you come in contact with, the people... I started to say those who fill your gas tank. Now you have to do it yourself. But do you see their spiritual need? Do you see their lostness? Do you see hurt? Do you ever see hurt in people's eyes? We were out visiting last Sunday, and I knocked on a door, and there was a lady who came to the door, and we could tell I could tell that she had been crying because her makeup was smeared. And so I asked her, began conversation with her, asked her if there was anything we could pray for her about, and she said, yes, everything. So we prayed for her. Then I asked her, would you be, and then I shared the gospel with her and asked her if she'd be willing to receive Christ. And she said, yes, I will. So she prayed a prayer to receive Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She said, I don't have a ride to church. I said, you call us and we'll make sure you get a ride to church. And so I will be connecting with her again. And, but there's people that are hurting. There are people who are broken. There are people who are bruised. I got a call this morning from an individual. He says, and it just crying on the phone, and said, you know, I need your help. And I said, okay, I'll meet you today, later on. And so we're going to meet. We're going to be talking, and we're going to be addressing those issues. But what I'm encouraging you to do is get involved in people's lives. What I'm encouraging you to do is to get where you can help them in their point of need. There are some people who right now, they may be resistant to Jesus Christ, but if you pray for them and if you get connected to them, God's going to bring them to a point where they're going to start looking for answers. So you need to look. Scripture says, look. Jesus said, look, 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 open your eyes, because there are people who need me. Jesus said, look, don't become so self-absorbed that you miss opportunities to share Christ. And you know, sometimes I get a plan in my head and I'm trying to finish the plan. I got things to do. Places to go. People to see. And then God brings somebody in front of me that I look back later and say, oh man, that was an opportunity. Gee whiz. But I'm so focused on what I need to do that I'm not so much focused on what Jesus is doing in the mix. Don't become so self-absorbed that you miss opportunities. And Jesus is saying, look, look past your hatred. Lay it aside. People need Jesus. And I think that's probably what he was saying to the disciples too. Look past your prejudices. Look past your pride. Look past your hatred. Look past your animosity. Look past all of the things that you've ever heard about the Samaritans, and look. They're hurting. They're lost. St. Patrick was born in Britain. It was part of the Roman Empire at the time. During the 4th century, his name was Maewyn Sukat. His family was Christian, but it's said that Maewyn himself was an atheist throughout his childhood. That would change at the age of 16, which around 400 AD, when Maewyn was kidnapped from his home by Irish pirates. And they took Maewyn to Ireland, and for 6 years, Maewyn was a shepherd of sheep. I guess that's the only way you become a shepherd. But he was shepherding sheep for 6 years, more as a slave than anything else. And then, after 6 years, he was able to escape. And he traveled 200 miles and then got on a boat to go back to Britain. And whenever he was in Britain, he realized that it was God who had allowed him safe passage from Ireland to Britain. And so one night during a dream, God called him into the ministry. And not only called him into the ministry, but called him to go back to Ireland to share Christ with those pagans. There were a few Christians in Ireland, but not very many. And so he 15 years he was in a monastery preparing for the mission work that he was going to do. After 15 years, he became a priest and then went back to Ireland to share Christ with the individuals that kept him captive. Now, you would think a person like that would have anger and animosity and hatred, but, you know, he looked beyond that and he saw the souls of men. And he went back to Ireland and started sharing Christ with those people in Ireland. Now, the church was kind of upset at some of his, the way he did it. But, you know, his heart was more about the people than it was about even the church. And so he gave his heart, he gave his life to the people in Ireland. And let me just say this, all of us have difficulties in life. Every one of us. But here's what I've discovered. If we get outside ourselves and begin to minister to other people, the things that we are so down and depressed and discouraged about seems to become non-existent or minute. If you begin sharing Christ with people, you're going to find that there's a joy that comes with sharing Christ. And the things that were so prevalent in your life is not going to be as difficult. It's not going to be as high or strong as it was once you start sharing Christ. So we need to look past our anger. And Jesus said, look past your fears and insecurities and inhibitions. It's not about you. I have a friend, and some of you have met him. His name is Clint Sams. He's come and preached to this church before. And I remember right after he became a Christian, he was in Seattle, and he was so shy. But he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to share Christ, so he would stand on a street corner in Seattle and hold his head down and had tracks like this. A lot of people wouldn't take it. And some people would take it and throw it on the ground. He just kept handing them out. But do you know what? God was faithful. And there were people who came to know Christ through that track ministry. And now Clint is the pastor of Union Gospel Mission in Portland, Oregon. And he is a soul winner. He and I were serving under my brother Troy, and I was trying to keep up with Clint on how many people I could lead to the Lord. And I'd kind of get mad when he had beat me to someone, you know. That was not a good attitude, right? But he had this way about him that people were just drawn to him, and he could just share Christ in a way that, boy, they would receive Christ. And it was just phenomenal how God used him. But here's the deal. The reason God used him is because he put himself out there. The reason God used him is because he was willing to step over his fears and inhibitions and share Christ with other people. Jesus says, look, Jesus saw a harvest of lost souls. Now, we need to look at the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Easter's coming, and I don't know where all of them went. Did you guys get some of these last week? Okay. There's only about 100 left. We had about 300. But I want you to pick some up, and I want you to be intentional about inviting people to our Easter service. Okay? I have some in my car. I won't take any more right now. But if we need more, we'll get some more printed up. We only had about 300 printed up. But if you have them, either give them away or bring them back. Okay? So whatever you took, you give away. If you took 40, take them with you, okay? But at least take one, take three, take five, whatever. But whatever you take, give them away. Because inviting people, I assume you like this church or you wouldn't keep coming back. Right? So if you like it, invite people to come. Because I believe that if God has spoken to you here, He will speak to others here as well. So take a few of these and give them out. I have some people at Safeway I want to give to. I met somebody the other day, had a Southern drawl. And I'm like, I'm all over that. I thought she was making fun of me to start with. But I realized she wasn't. I don't think. So find people that you can connect with. Find people that you have something, a connection with, something, some hobbies or whatever that you guys can connect with. Because not only is Jesus looking for them, they're looking for Jesus, but they don't know that. Right? You can make eternal impact and receive eternal rewards. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And they're like, who brought him food? He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. My food is to do the will of my Father. Did you know that when you start doing God's will, there's just, you become filled. You become filled with joy. You become filled with purpose. There's something about doing what God says that just fills you. And that's what Jesus was saying. I am filled because I've been doing what God has asked me to do. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The last passage, the last few verses of chapter 39 says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. So you remember the woman at the well, she went back to her city and she told the city, come see a man that's told me everything I've done. And they're like, huh, that's strange. So they went out to see Jesus. And then their report is this. Now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that it is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So they met Jesus on their own because of the testimony of one person, a whole city. A whole city because of the testimony of one person. A person who had been married 5 times. A person who was living with a fellow that was not her husband. That person. That person, you think, man, that's a wicked individual. There's no hope for them. And you may say, well, there's no hope for me because of whatever. But did you know that Jesus is looking for you? Jesus is looking for you. Jesus said, I'm finished with the work Father sent me to do while here in his physical body, but he's not finished with the work because he's still working on the hearts and lives of people. And so here's the invitation today. Number one, if you're here without Christ, Jesus is looking for you. If you're here without Christ, Jesus is saying, I want you to. If you're here today and you say, I don't deserve it, just like this woman at the well, it's not about deserving it. It's about receiving it. And if you're here today and you want more in your life and be able to accomplish the things that God has for you to complete the task, then I encourage you, start sharing Christ with people. Every second Sunday, we do a training and we go out. If you need to be trained up to know how to do that, then I've got tools that I can help you with. So when you go to heaven, how many people are you taking with you? How many people are you taking with you? That's your fruit. That's the fruit of the harvest. When I get to heaven, and I believe this for everyone, I believe those people you've influenced for Christ are going to be standing in line welcoming you when you get there. There's a passage in here somewhere for that, and I'll find it. But I believe that's the case. So would you take it upon yourself to invite people to our church, invite them to Easter presentation? And if we get too many, I only printed 300 cards, and if we have 200, maybe we can put people in the very back and have people in the back to receive. Some of our church members can go watch it on TV in the back, and y'all can have a worship time back there. But we really, what we're trying to do is bring the lost into the kingdom, right? That's the purpose. That's one of the purposes for church, is to bring the lost into the kingdom. So again, if you're here today without Christ, then today Jesus is looking for you. He wants you to come. The second thing, would you just commit yourself to bringing people to the kingdom? Maybe you just start by reading a tract to them. Maybe you start by standing on the street with tracts. Whatever you did, start somewhere. You'll never get there unless you start. Well, I don't know what to say. For God so loved the world. Can I read this to you? It takes about 2 minutes. Do you have 2 minutes? Knock on the door. Listen, I've got some really good news I'd like to share with you. This track is written by Billy Graham. You have 2 minutes so I can just share this with you. Got big letters. Got pictures. Then ask them, are you willing to give your life to Christ? There's a prayer. You don't even know. All you can do is, if you know how to read, you can do this, right? The prayer goes something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins, and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you mean that prayer? Yeah? Would you sign your name right here? Giving your life to Christ. Talked to a fella, Jaden and I were visiting last week, and we talked on a door. A fella named Vern came to the door and had a good conversation with him. And I said, would you be willing to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now? He said, not right now. But he said, I know my time is close because I'm 79 years old. But I want to think about it. I said, okay, well, I want to leave this with you, and I want to leave this with you, and I want to leave this with you. And you call me when you get ready to make that decision. People are searching. The harvest is white. But we'll never experience having eternal fruit. Take with us to heaven if we don't share. Father, I come before you today and I just thank you for your word to us. Lord, I thank you for just speaking to my heart through this message. And Lord, I know I can do better. And I know I can do more. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us just to commit to sharing Christ. If nothing else, but to share a tract or an invite, whatever. God, we have to start somewhere. Lord, this is your business. This is what you want us to be about. And so, Lord, we just come before you. And Lord, speak to our hearts now. Help us to be obedient to the message that you've shared. In Jesus' name, amen.